Welcome to the Taskmaster Podcast, episode 4. Yes, it is the fourth episode of the podcast, which means we will be discussing episode 4 of Taskmaster Series 10. That's right, that's what this podcast is. As always, if you have not seen episode 4, Series 10 of Taskmaster, do not listen to this podcast. It contains spoilers. I will be chatting with my special guest about what happens on the episode. So don't listen. If you've not watched it, go away and watch the episode. It's on all four right now, as well as the previous episodes to it. Go and watch all the episodes to catch up before you listen to the podcast. It's very simple. So it was another cracking episode. I'm really enjoying this series. And our special guest, I think, enjoyed the episode as well. I can't wait to talk to him. Remember, Taskmaster is on Thursdays at 9 p.m. on Channel 4. And if you want a more family-friendly version, because you got kids and stuff, although I've been saying that every week, go away and watch the family-friendly version on E4 at 6 o'clock on Sunday. If you want a more family-friendly version because you've got kids, you might not have kids. You might just be a little bit of a prude. You might have soft ears, the old phrase. You might have soft ears and jelly eyes, and you can't cope with Rudy's. So watch the family-friendly version for those with soft ears at 6 o'clock E4 Sunday. So go and watch all the episodes, then listen to this podcast. We've got a lot of fun chat to come. Our special guest this week is the wonderful Paul Chowdhury. That's right, Paul Chowdhury from Series 3. I can't wait to hear what he remembers about his series, his favourite moments from his series, his favourite moments from this episode, how he's enjoying this series, all of that sort of good stuff. Paul is a unique and wonderful character. He is absolutely hilarious. I can't wait to chat to him. So, let's get on with it. Welcome to the Taskmaster Podcast. Oh, I'm Ed Gamble, by the way. I don't know if I said that bit. Oh, a bit late now. I hope that hasn't ruined it for any of you. I'm Ed Gamble, champion of Series 9. Current champion, as it stands, but that's edging closer and closer to not being true, and then I am nothing again. So, here we go. It's episode 4 of the Taskmaster Podcast. See you in a bit. Welcome, Paul Chowdhury, to the Taskmaster Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Ed Gamble.
You are very welcome, my friend. You are, of course, a Taskmaster legend. Remind everyone which series you were on and who were your fellow contestants, please.
I was on in 2006, I think it was Series 3.
Yeah. Can you remember, Paul, who you're on with?
This is a tough one. I know, who was on this one? Greg Davis, was on this one.
He's always on it. So
is he always on it?
He's always on it, he's the host, yeah.
That skinny guy next to him.
Alex Horn, yeah. Very nice of you to call him skinny rather than
Alex
short.
Horn. Lanky guy, isn't he? He's about seven foot six.
Yeah.
Sarah Pascoe.
Yeah.
Al Murray, the pub landlord.
Yes, although he wasn't within his pub landlord persona during Taskmaster.
No, he just does that for, it's a character he does, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dave the Gorman.
Dave the Gorman Gorman. That's his nickname.
I think this is one of his characters. Gorman. And I think that was about it, wasn't it?
Do you think so?
Was there another one?
There might have been someone else. You've named four people. There's always five people. On
there was another one, was there? Oh, that was me.
You know, you've named three. Right, Paul, Rob Beckett was the other one.
That's the guy, yeah, Rob Beckett.
Yeah, don't worry, I'm sort of here to be across all of those details, Paul. We don't necessarily need to rely on your...
I erased that from my memory, actually, the Rob Beckett. We clashed.
Yeah, what's he doing now, right? You're on the Taskmaster series with lots of great people.
Yeah, it was a good series, that was. That was the one it got nominated for a BAFTA, that one.
It did indeed. I was on Series 9, which was also nominated for a BAFTA, and I believe won the BAFTA. But let's not start comparing BAFTAs. Do you have any fond memories of Taskmaster, Paul, that particularly stick out of your time on the show?
Fond memories, maybe that bastard's crying in it, seems to be repeated to me a lot.
This was the snowman task. You had to get ingredients and build a snowman.
Yeah.
Yours
was a particularly sad-looking rabbit, wasn't it? You got a rabbit and put it in some ice and gave it tears and said, "Bastards crying in it," which has gone down in the Taskmaster Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I was actually trying to play that game quite seriously, and I don't appreciate it being mocked this way and taken for a joke.
Well, I think that was to your credit, Paul. I think that's what a lot of people really enjoyed about your performance on Taskmaster, because people still do quote your legendary task back. And I think no one knows quite what angle you're coming at it from, whether you're taking it seriously, whether you're taking it the least seriously out of anyone ever, because you keep such a poker face that no one knows what's going on in your head, Paul.
I took it very seriously, as I do with life. You know, I went out there to win the series, and I didn't win. Won one episode.
Well, you won one episode, which is, you know, some people have never won an episode, which is very sad. But yes, you won one episode. And when you won that episode, it was a big moment. I remember that being a huge moment that you'd finally won an episode. Can you tell us how that felt?
You know, it was a long time coming when I finally won that episode. And you could just see the look on the other contestants' faces, who never had any belief in me. Where are they now? Are they doing the Ed Gamble Taskmaster podcast?
Well, no, exactly. You don't remember who half of them are anyway.
I don't even know who. I don't keep in touch with these people. I'll be honest with you. The only person I've kept in touch with is you, and that's because I have to talk to you now.
So when you say you saw the look on their faces and they never had any belief in you, when I watched it, what I interpreted was that they were all very happy for you that you finally won an episode. But do you see it as more of a they were really angry and you were rubbing it in their face?
Well, let's put it this way. None of them called me since to see how I am. And I don't know if you've heard, there's been like this virus has been going around.
Yes, so, I have. So
the times have been hard and not one COVID-19. Of them has checked on.
No one's checked on you at all. Have you checked on them?
I've checked on them countless times. I've looked at their Twitter feeds. I've seen a couple of their Facebook videos.
Yeah.
And, you know, they haven't seen how I am since, so I want to see. Maybe I should... I've been asked a lot on Twitter to do a reunion Taskmaster episode with the losers.
Ah, yes. So we put out a call for questions. People email the podcast with questions, and that came up a lot, whether there would ever be a loser of losers episode. Is that something that you would do, or is it something that would sort of harm your ego a little bit too much?
Well, I mean, I did Taskmaster 4 years ago, and as you're quite aware, my career has gone...
Well, no, you did it in 2006, you told us.
Yeah, so... Oh, yeah, sorry, 14 years ago. I did it 14 years ago to Taskmaster. It was a long time ago, actually. Since then, my career has gone on to look at me now.
Yes.
You know, obviously it's probably quite daunting for you to talk to me at this point in my career because you didn't expect me to reach these heights.
Paul, I mean, I think you're being sarcastic and self-deprecating, but you have done Wembley Arena.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. But I think also you're being sarcastic and self-deprecating. So no, this is what I mean about never knowing where you're coming from.
I was being deadly serious there, and then you put... And then you put me down by mentioning Wembley Arena.
Now, Paul, in terms of my memory of your series, it's one of my favourite series. You're one of my favourite contestants, which is why I've invited you onto the Taskmaster podcast. When anybody asks me to sum up people's different approaches to tasks in Taskmaster, I normally bring up the one from your series where you were asked to disperse... I think it was 3 or 4 items of your clothing across a wide an area as possible. So Al Murray was getting cabs. There were people trying to throw them onto trains. There were people putting them in the river and stuff like that. And your immediate thought was to take off your shirt and throw it over the fence.
Yeah, because is it throw your clothes as wide as far as possible?
No, it wasn't throw your clothes. It was just spread them. So obviously people were thinking, how am I going to get them miles away from me? But you just went with dunked it over the fence, which I love. That to me represents the sort of difference in approach in Taskmaster. So you just sort of panicked and just went quite close.
Well, I didn't panic, but I was more spreading. The term spread means like spread. That it's in within your vicinity of spreading. And that was...
Interesting.
Within my vicinity.
you take spreading to mean within the vicinity. I suppose you're right in a sense, because if you spread a piece of bread, you're not spreading it across a 9 mile radius, are you?
Yeah, you said to me, spread me some bread, Paul, and you're at my house. I wouldn't get in a cab and then drive to Uxbridge and then spread your bread and come back. What kind of an idiot would do that? But then I was seen as the idiot. This is the problem. Yeah. I was doing stuff properly in Taskmaster. If you actually break, I think within about 20 years' time, they'll look back at my series and say, Paul wasn't an idiot. He did it properly.
Paul was the only sane one.
The only sane one in the group.
Yeah. Now, if I did come to your house and say, Paul, spread me some bread, what would your reaction be?
I would say we're just friends.
You know that if you throw a sock over a fence, it's still just the other side of the fence.
You didn't see where it landed.
What, the sock?
Yeah, I chucked it over the fence.
Unless you did some sort of martial arts throw, and it was just the other side of the fence.
No, but when you twist your hand, it gives it a spin, and it kind of... It's probably still travelling now.
Okay, Paul, now let's start chatting about this episode of Taskmaster Series 10. It's episode 4 of Taskmaster Series 10. The series is well and truly underway. We've got to know the characters across the series so far. But we kick off, as ever, with the prize task, which was who can bring in the cheekiest food. How did you enjoy the prize tasks? Did you like doing the prize tasks? Did you like coming up with stuff for the prize tasks?
Yeah, I enjoyed those ones. Most handsome relative, I remember.
And what do you remember what you brought in for that, Paul?
I think I brought in a picture of me.
Yep, I believe you did.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Technically, I am related to myself.
That's true. My abiding memory of your prize task, Paul, was the heaviest thing, and you brought in a box of melon.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever carried a melon back from the supermarket. Obviously, I just noticed before this, you're a lot more middle class than me, Ed, so you have your shopping delivered.
I do. I was actually, a little peek behind the scenes of the Taskmaster podcast. We started this a bit late because my Ocado delivery arrived.
Ocado?
Yes.
Not even Asda?
Not Asda, Ocado, I'm afraid, Paul. Man,
you've moved up big time now, isn't it? Man's getting Ocado deliveries and that.
That's what happens when you do Taskmaster, man. If you had bothered to become champion, you'd be on the Ocado now.
I'd be on the Ocado now. Instead, I'm a guest on Ed Gamble's Taskmaster podcast. I sold out Wembley, mate. Wembley. But you did Taskmaster series, what was it?
Nine?
Seven. Nine. And I did series three. See, I'm one of the founding fathers.
You are, I agree. I absolutely agree. You're one of the OGs, Paul.
And, you know, people don't appreciate that. People have taxed my style on that. They've copied what I did on it now. They're trying to be Paul Chowdhury. There's only one Paul Chowdhury, you know that.
I believe that. I'm well aware there's only one Paul Chowdhury. Who do you think's copied your style on Taskmaster, and would you like to use this as a platform to call them out?
Probably Johnny Vegas, I think, is more.
You think Johnny Vegas has copied your style?
I don't know what to do for this task. Right there, I'm just going to play it. Oh, sorry about that, I'll move
it. You know, that's kind of more me.
Yeah, that's sort of what you did, wasn't it? So, cheekiest food, Paul. What would you have brought in for cheekiest food?
Mm. That was an interesting one. Cheeky. What's cheeky? It's like a passion fruit or something, I would say, is quite cheeky.
How is a passion fruit cheeky, do you think, if you cut it in half? What do you mean, literally, it looks like a pair of cheeks, or there's just something cheeky about the taste of it?
And also the name.
Mm.
Passion fruit.
Yeah, I suppose so. You could use it in a sort of wooing scenario.
Well, it's not very passionate when you eat a passion fruit because you get all those pips stuck in your teeth. So it's more irritating fruit. But they call it passion fruit because passion can be quite irritating. So ironically, passion fruit and the pips is quite irritating. So I would have probably bought in a passion fruit or a pear because people like a pear-like physique.
Oh, okay, so you've gone down the sort of pear-shaped bodies or sort of like the
big asses.
Big asses, there we go. So a pear looks like a big ass, so you would have brought that in.
Yeah, yeah, because you're into asses as well, aren't you?
Sure.
Yeah, so, you know, probably would have brought that in. You used to have a big ass, didn't it, before you lost all that weight?
I actually, you know what, Paul? I never really, the ass was never my defining feature. I was a big bloke all round, but I don't think anyone would have said, "Here comes the arse."
I say that sometimes.
About me or in general?
I used to compare. Maybe I should introduce you next time I compare, Wes.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to stage, Ed Gamble. Here comes the arse.
And I'll come on eating a pear.
Yeah.
And no one will get it apart from me and you, but it'll be worth it.
Arse first.
Arse first.
When you
first
eat a pear, do you start at the top or the bottom?
Good question. I start at the bottom, but depending on the
You're an arse man, that's why.
Oh, right. I see. That's the key, is it? So if you start at the top, you're a head man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a little head, tiny head, man. Because the pear doesn't have much of a top upper body, does it?
So you would have brought in a passion fruit or a pear. I don't know. Yeah. My first thought was Richard Herring brought in beef cheeks, and that's a very Route 1 way of doing it. That was obviously my first thought, but I possibly would have moved beyond that. So Johnny's, I mean, Johnny's was horrendous, I would say, which was the pot noodle, overfilled pot noodle with a slice of bread in the top. He suggested it was cheeky because his son walked in on him eating it, and he was so sad that he had to just say cheeky. Is a pot noodle and bread cheeky, Paul?
It's not really a food item, is it? It's more of a ready-made meal. It's like bringing in a microwave meal.
I know. I think it's a food item, isn't it? It's food. It's cheekiest food is the category. I think pot noodle and bread counts as food, doesn't it?
Well, I'd have just taken in a tin of soup and bread.
But I thought you were taking in a pear or a passion fruit.
Well, if I had to take in something like that, pear and a passion fruit is something you could, it's like an actual food.
Mm.
It's not like there's many different ingredients in a pot noodle. It's been made up by a human.
I see. So your interpretation of it is cheekiest food, it needs to be one pure ingredient.
Pure ingredient.
So you also would discount Catherine's bum cake, would you?
Technically, unless that it's a natural bum cake, like it was grown in a garden, and I'd accept that.
Is this something I don't know about? Have you ever seen a cake that's been grown in a garden?
People do grow cakes, hash
Who
cakes.
Grows? No, but they don't grow the cake, do they? The hash cake or any type of cake. They still need to then use that ingredient to bake a cake. Do you think so? You could grow a cake from the ground and then just pick a cake?
Yeah, they pick a cake out of the garden, yeah. Just like next to the potatoes. I've picked a lot of cakes. You never had a cake before from the garden?
I've never had a cake from the garden before. This is amazing. Do you grow cakes yourself?
Yeah, I've got mushrooms, cakes, everything. Mint, bananas, melons, pineapples.
So we're allowing Catherine's bum cake because it could have been grown in the garden.
Yeah, if she grew it, then I'd accept it.
Okay, I don't think she did. I think she bought it from a shop. Now, Daisy, who has traditionally just said crumpet, umbrella, she's been very simple with her prize tasks. This week, somehow, this is the most inventive prize task she'd done, was just the Billy Bear ham, which is the ham you can get from the deli counter, which is, they sell it as a long strip, Paul, and it's a bear's face all the way through, but it's just sort of faint bear's face, like it's been sunburned on, and you get slices of it. Have you ever had Billy Bear ham before?
I never had it, but I do know bears.
You do know bears. Okay, so you're aware of the concept of bears, and you know about ham?
Yeah, I heard of ham.
Yeah, so you can work out what that is, really, I guess.
Yeah,
now, Mwan won this round with his lentils and rice, which initially didn't seem very cheeky. But then we found out that he'd stolen the lentils and rice from his housemate, and then he did a cheeky little face to go with it. Now, for me, he was the winner immediately when he did the cheeky little face. I think that was the right decision. Do you think Mwan should have won the prize task this week?
Well, it's a difficult one, that, because I want to see the reaction that his housemate gives him with that cheeky face, because depending on who you're living with,
yeah,
you're going to get knocked out. You know, if he's living with some thug in that house and they realise that he's teethed the food,
yeah,
he's getting knocked out, isn't he?
I suspect that Mwan doesn't live with a thug.
He looks like the kind of man that lives with thugs and gangsters.
Do you think?
And he's like the token funny guy.
Token funny guy and everyone else is bad boys.
Yeah. Because he's a bit of a rude boy, but he's not, is he?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so would it make it more or less cheeky for you if he got knocked out for teething the rice and lentils?
I don't condone anyone getting knocked out on this podcast.
No.
I wouldn't. But the problem is, when you do live with people, I know there can be house politics.
Yeah.
So if you're stealing someone's food, you know, I hear stories. That's why I live on my own.
Yeah.
I don't want to get knocked out or knock someone out. So it's just easier to live on your own than have all this kind of, oh, who took my stuff out of the fridge? You know, all that stuff. Oh, yeah. I needed it for Taskmaster. What's Taskmaster? You know, then you have to explain you're on a TV show. That's why I never got married.
It's amazing the insight that one small question can get. We're just talking about some stolen lentils and rice, and we've got into your living situation and the reason you're not married, Paul, and I appreciate that about you.
I didn't realise it was this kind of podcast. It would get this deep.
That's all you, man. So we move on to the first task proper of the episode, which is make the phone ring. The setting was lots of different numbered lockers. They had a phone and they had to try and make that phone ring and get there using the clues that were given. Now, I would have absolutely loved this task. I'm a big fan of escape rooms, Paul, and it had a sort of vibe of an escape room, like a little treasure hunt. Like spy type thing. It was very exciting. Have you ever done an escape room, Paul?
No. Yeah, Ed Gamble, yeah, you're a middle-class white man, so it's correct. Okay for you. But I've been kidnapped in my life. You know, I have been kidnapped.
Really?
Yeah. This was in my college days. And was that me?
What?
Oh, there was a sound there, sorry.
That's don't worry. No, I hope no one's breaking in and kidnapping you again. It's going to be like Taken.
Yeah. I don't know who you are.
I'd have to do that if you were kidnapped.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't I don't know who you are, but you're not very nice, and I'm going to find you, and I'm going to get Paul Chowdhury back.
Why would you be doing a Margaret Thatcher impression?
That's my normal voice. I'll put this sorry. On for the podcast.
Oh, I thought you were, yeah. No, this is your like, sexy voice now.
Yeah, big sexy.
Yeah, the Ed Gamble thug life.
So when were you kidnapped? You were kidnapped at university?
No, this was back at college days. You know, I come from a hard life. You know, my background isn't like yours, Ed. I've seen the world.
Yeah.
I'm an old man now. So, you know, when I was growing up, kidnapping was, it wasn't as popular as it is now.
Right.
Like, it was more underground. It wasn't as big. When I got kidnapped, I got taken to the bank to get some money out. I was kidnapped for about a day. It wasn't that long. It wasn't like, it wasn't months or years. So
you were taken on a day out.
Yeah. It was like a day trip kidnapping. The accommodation wasn't included in this kidnapping.
Okay.
You know, most kidnappers do provide accommodation and living conditions and, you know, food and stuff. But
yeah, no one ever talks about the advantages, do they?
No, they don't.
So you've never done an escape room because you've been kidnapped in the past. That's fair enough. I've never been kidnapped, so I love doing escape rooms. Would you have liked to have done this task in your series of Taskmaster?
I would have liked to have done this task. It was a hard task. Johnny was quite interesting with this task.
Johnny was very interesting with this task. He had, I mean, it was a full meltdown, let's be honest. He was panicking immediately. He hugged
What
Alex.
Locker do I open? Which one is it? I don't there know he is. Where I am.
It's like he's here in the room.
It is. It's a brilliant impression. He was just like a piss bloke who'd lost his car keys, wasn't he? He was just desperately searching, not really using any logic. He was just looking in random lockers. At one point, he opened a random locker and Alex had to say, why have you opened that locker? And he said, I'm just storing my stuff in there.
Yeah.
I felt like you would have kept a cooler head in that task, Paul.
Interesting you say that, Ed, because Taskmaster is a show where you can't take on any personas.
Yeah.
You can't take on your stage persona. You're not doing stand-up. You're not performing. So you do get to discover the true human being behind the comedy persona that they portray. You know, this is the real me now. But people think I put on a character, but they realised, I didn't realise Paul was like that. That's really weird, because I've been watching him do stand-up and he's quite different. But, yeah, because I'm performing on a stage in front of thousands of people. You turn it up a bit.
Yeah, whereas, of course. You've got to at Wembley, right?
Yeah, at Wembley, there was 10,000 people there, Ed. I had 10,000 people turn up at one tour date. That's one tour date.
Yeah. No, look, no one's denying you're doing well, Paul.
I was doing well.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah.
This was back in pre-COVID,
Pre-COVID,
you know.
So you're saying you wouldn't have kept a cool head, or would you? Would you have panicked?
That was a tough one. The room was quite scary. I've noticed that the production values have gone up quite a lot.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they find more and more sort of unique locations to do the location tasks, I think.
Incredible room that was. Yeah,
and that room was amazing. I don't know where that was. I'm sure Alex can let us know maybe on next week's episode where that was. But yeah, it was like something out of one of the Saw films.
Yeah. You must find the number in one of the boxes.
I don't know where it is, mate.
Paul, you don't get enough credit as an impressionist. People know you as like a sort of, hard-hitting, satirical stand-up. No one's thinking of you as the next Les Dennis.
I want to play a game. Tonight, you will see yourself, Ed, tied to a chair. You must get a pear, eat that pear, and talk about your diabetes.
Oh, no.
I don't get it, mate.
Oh, no, Johnny's there as well. I think Johnny had the most disastrous attempt at the task. Mwan, I think, thought outside the box. He was the only one to try and think outside the box in this task and tried to call the phone from that phone to get the number and then call it back. And he tried to run through the phone to get the ringtones to see if he could just play the ringtone. The only person to think outside the box there.
Yeah, an interesting way to approach that task, because I don't know if you ever... You know when you're like... You ever got like, you ever chirped a girl once, you know, and then, you know, I know, Ed, that you're a bit of a ladies' man, so you've probably done this before, but when you get someone's number, and then they give you their number, or they take your number, there's a trick that people do, was they, like, let's say I gave you my number, and then I would take your phone, or I'd make you ring me, and I'd get your number.
Yes. I'm not sure it's a trick. I think the other person knows what's going on, right?
Yeah, but someone doesn't want you to have their number.
Yeah.
Let's say after a show you came up to me, Ed, and said, "Hey, Paul, really enjoyed your stand-up, mate. What's your number?"
Yeah.
And I'd say, "Ed, just give me your number. I'll give you a call and I'll take your number and I'll try and walk off. Paul, come back. Can you just ring my phone, mate?"
Right.
Then I'm in trouble. Then I'm in big, big trouble, because then you've got my number.
Yeah.
And I can't control this anymore.
And then I'm calling you 24/7.
Yeah, right? Then we've got problems rather than doing the podcast through a producer and several different agents.
Yeah, there's been a lot of hurdles to get to Paul, so he could distance himself from me a little bit, which is fair enough. I'm an annoying guy. but I think Mwan had a good idea there to do that. Johnny's was a disaster. Daisy, more and more every episode now, seems like a four-year-old girl at a fancy dress party. She's just sort of romping around in her little costume, just screaming at the top of her voice. Very excitable.
Daisy May Cooper's quite interesting because she's such a superstar in comedy now.
Yeah.
And she's quite low-key on this.
Quite low-key, that's how you describe her, right?
Low-key.
Is there anyone out of the competitors in this series who you would like to be on a team with? If they were in your series, who would you most like to be on a team with in Taskmaster?
Catherine.
Why Catherine?
I like her calming aura.
Yes. I think on the surface she's quite calm, but then just bubbling under the surface, I think she's panicking all of the time.
And that's a bit sexist, man. You can't say that.
No, it's look, that she is. I think she's panicking. I'm not saying Daisy May Cooper's panicking all the time. Catherine, especially on this task, I think, with the hens trying to work out... trying to work out why there were three French hens there, trying to work out that number, and she was just going round and round in circles doing the whole song. I think I think she's great on this. I don't think she'd necessarily be a good teammate. I think she'd worry me on a team.
Who would you pick then?
Well, I think, you know, Richard Herring, he did this fastest. It was an amazing effort from him. He really just gets on with it, doesn't he? He just gets his head down and gets on with it. And I've said that on the podcast before. I'll say it again. He really wants to win. He's very competitive, and I don't think he doesn't panic so much. He looks very undignified while he's doing every task, but he doesn't panic.
Yeah, Richard Herring is like the SWAT of school, isn't he?
He is like the SWAT of school. I mean, you know, he's an intelligent guy. He went to Oxford. He was a high achiever. You know, absolutely the SWAT of school. Do you think you would have got on with him in a team?
Well, saying that, in my series, there were a few people from Oxford.
Yeah,
Dave Gorman, Al Murray.
Al Murray, yeah. Al Murray's definitely from Oxford. Yeah, so
I think he was at Oxford with Richard Herring, wasn't he? And Stuart Lee at the same time.
Yes, I think so. I think so. All that lot. But then Rob Beckett won, who will proudly tell you that he didn't go to Oxford and Cambridge. So, you know, it's not all about that in Taskmaster. You need nous. You don't just need book smarts.
Mm. Yeah, it was an interesting turn of events on that.
It was. So that was Richard for the victory there. He managed to do that in 10 minutes. But the times were all over the place, as Greg mentioned. Daisy in 11 minutes and 20 seconds. Then Mwan was third, then Catherine. And then, of course, Johnny last, because he had that that full meltdown.
Channel 4. Oh! Oh!
2, 3, 4.
Hello? Hello?
The next task is a team, sort of a team task. They were in their teams, but they were against each other, which was fascinating. I'm not sure that's ever really happened in Taskmaster before. The task was you had 10 minutes to find something amazing to put in your bag. And I thought, that's not a very good task. Surely there's got to be more to it than this. And of course there was. They then had to convince a security guard to look in their bag. He was only allowed to look in one bag of each team. And they had... It was a task of persuasion, Paul. Let's role play it now. Say you've got something amazing in your bag and you've got to convince me to look in your bag. How would you get me to look in your bag?
I would have said you've got about 5 minutes before we're both in trouble. Look in the bag.
And would you expand on that? Would you tell me why we're in trouble, or would you just say, we've got 5 minutes until we're both in trouble, look in the bag?
Do you want to live beyond 5 minutes?
See, to me, that makes me think there's a bomb in the bag.
That's the implication.
Yeah. So, but why would I want to look? Why would I want to look in the bag if there was a bomb in the bag?
Yeah, you may well run. You may well run quite a distance then. Or look in the bag if you want. It depends if you're selfish or not. If you're selfish, you'd run.
Yeah.
If you want to save lives, you'd look in the bag and detonate the bomb.
Oh, so so the implication of your persuasion is that the bomb's going to explode in 5 minutes, so I may as well look in the bag and detonate it early into my own face.
Well, not detonate it, but deactivate it.
Oh, so looking in the bag deactivates the bomb.
Yeah.
You should specify that in your persuasion, because then I'd definitely look in your bag.
I'd put that in the small print. So, look, Ed, open the bag.
Yeah.
I don't want to open the bag.
Open the bag, Ed.
Why do I want to open the bag?
Because there's something in the bag that I want to... Or I'd just say to you, there's a, you know, something that you'd enjoy in there, a butt plug or something.
Right, okay. Okay.
Some sweets.
Some sweets or a butt plug,
You like sweets.
Daisy's persuasion technique, she went, I mean, quite flirtatious, I'd say.
It was an absolute pleasure meeting you, my love.
Thrilled to meet you.
She's not allowed to talk to her now. I was obeying the rules.
She's just saying goodbye, Richard.
Well, she's buttering up the...
Call me. Bye, Richie. Bye, Dickie.
Would that have annoyed you if someone used their feminine wiles to get them to look in their bag?
No, if she did that to me, I would have been fine with it.
Yeah, okay. But if you were against them, would you have been annoyed with Daisy's technique?
People got to use what they got to use, man.
Yeah.
You know, why is Richard getting annoyed with her? Because that's who she is.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
These are the real people coming out now.
Yeah.
And for Richard to be annoyed with her, potentially, it could backfire.
You could see how competitive he is. It's all coming out. But... Yeah. He did look in Daisy's bag, of course, so much more convincing than Richard, who did just say he basically had naked pictures in the bag, which, I don't know, would that have convinced me? Probably not. I still would have gone with Daisy. But on the other team, Johnny was victorious with a bit of reverse psychology, which I very much enjoyed. Said, don't look in the bag. Just don't look in my bag. You don't want to see what's in this bag. And of course, as soon as someone says that, you want to see what's in the bag, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, that was another way of doing it. Don't look in the bag, and someone says, no, I want to look in the bag, but is it going to work?
Well, it did.
It did work?
Yeah.
He looked in the bag?
Yeah, he looked in Johnny's bag. It worked.
Don't look in the bag! You don't want to look in it.
Why not? Why not?
Because there's something in there you don't want to see.
What you don't know, Taskmaster fans, is that at the beginning of every series of Taskmaster, Paul develops an impression of everyone on the show just in case they can't do an episode and he can be drafted in to replace them. Yeah. Something which is genuinely true of my series, Series 9. You'll remember there were two episodes that Katie Wicks wasn't there for because she was ill. She was replaced by Kerry Godliman from Series 7 and Catherine Ryan from Series 2. But then there were two more episodes where it was still up in the air as to whether Katie could do them. So on those episodes, Paul Chowdhury was just at the studio, roaming the corridors, waiting for his opportunity to pounce in, won't you, Paul?
People don't realise what they were about to see right there.
Yeah.
You know, I was ready for those two episodes in my dressing room watching your series. I was watching you on the TV monitor there.
Yeah.
Thinking, I'm about to get called on any minute.
Yeah. And, oh, did you think you were going to get called on instead of me, did you?
Not instead of you, instead of...
instead of Katie, yeah.
Because, you know, Kate, I'm Katie's stunt double.
Yes, you are very similar.
If you look at Katie and you look at me, the reason I have to keep a beard is so I don't look like Katie as much. People say, oh, Katie Wicks, nice to see you. I said, no, I'm Paul Chowdhury. That's the other one. The other one. So then I grew a beard and now it doesn't happen as much. Now I get compared to Jihadi John.
I like that day when you were at the studio, Paul, because it was it might have even been a couple of days, actually, because I'd finish an episode and then in Pinewood, I'd come to the bottom of the stairs to go up to my dressing room and you'd just be stood at the top of the stairs just going, some funny stuff in there.
Some funny stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I was complimenting always got a little you. Compliment. Always got always, a little compliment from Paul. It was nice.
It was really, you know, and I'd watch you and I'd think, you know, this Ed, this back in the day when I used to compare like up the creeks and all the comedy clubs and, you know, you used to come on and you've come a long way, Ed.
Yeah, smaller you know, ass.
Yeah, smaller ass. You were a bigger guy then. And you were, hey, Paul, I see you stand up. It was good to meet you. And I was like, Ed, one day we'll do a podcast together. One day.
I knew it. Even before I knew what a podcast was, I knew that we'd do one together, Paul. And now it's time for our regular feature. It's time to hear from your new BFF, Alex Horn.
Oh, it's BFF time with me, little Alex Horn, your new BFF bonus fact finder. And today's bonus fact is all about the persuasion task, where our contestants had to persuade a security guard to look into their red shopping basket bag thing. Now, the fact is because this was filmed at a bandstand in public, and only a few of our tasks over the years have been filmed in public, and one was filmed in public and it didn't make the show because it was too in public and it felt more like a prank show than Taskmaster. So alongside the high five a 55-year-old task from Series 1, which was one of my favourites, but did make people feel uncomfortable, we also made Tim Key, Frank Skinner, Roisin Conaty, Ramesh Ranganathan and Josh Widdicombe, the champ, do a task where they were dressed up as a parrot, no one could see them, and had to make as many people sign a piece of paper as possible in 20 minutes. It felt uncomfortable. It didn't feel like our show, and we didn't show it. However, I still have the footage, and for a price, I will share it with you. £1 billion. Goodbye.
Final pre-film task of the episode, drop the water balloon from the greatest height without it bursting. Now, this is a classic Alex Horn Taskmaster task where I think they've hired the equipment before they've decided what the task is. It happened in mine with the steamroller. They've obviously found this winch situation and they've thought, well, we can do something with this. And it was great. I loved this task. It's all about holding your nerve. It's all about estimating. For some people, it was all about testing. For Catherine, she didn't see it as a winch. Catherine immediately assumed it was a machine designed to stretch children, which is not something I'd heard of before, but she swears it happened to her friend. Do you know anyone who was stretched, Paul?
It's an interesting one. I think the other guy in this show, you know, the guy who sits next to Greg Davis.
Alex Horn.
Yeah, he looks like he's been stretched.
He does a bit.
Because when people see him, and then he actually says on Twitter a lot that I'm actually about 6'4".
Yeah.
Because people call him a little guy.
Yeah.
But he's not a little guy. He's a stretch little man. You'd imagine him to be this little guy.
Yeah.
And all probably because he's stood next to Greg Davis, who's about 9'7".
Yeah.
So everyone's a little guy next to...
Of course, yeah. But what people don't know about Alex Horn is he was stretched. I mean, if anything, that's probably what it was, that piece of equipment. And Catherine got it too close to the truth. That's what Alex Horn was stretched on, and he's decided to repurpose it as a water balloon dropper.
Yeah. Have you been stretched? How tall are you now?
I'm 6'1".
You're 6'1" now?
I'm 6'1" now, yeah. I was last time you saw me as well. No. I was 6'1" last time you saw me. It's because you were at the top of the stairs.
No, when you were bigger.
Oh, no, I've not grown in height since I've lost weight.
So when you lost weight, you didn't change, like, you just became...
I didn't change height, as far as I know. The comedian Rob Deering, he's also lost a lot of weight in the past. He swears that his foot size has changed and that his arches on his feet have raised up. He used to have very flat feet, and then he lost weight, and now his feet have pushed back up again, which I don't believe.
Are you talking about a werewolf?
Yes, but Rob Deering, specifically Rob Deering.
He looks like a werewolf, yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely got that vibe. So, Mohan, another incredibly different episode for Mohan. He's thought outside the box for the prize task and making the phone ring, and yet with this one, he thought so within the box, it was insane. He didn't think to put anything to shield the water balloon, and he didn't think to put anything around the water balloon. He just dropped it.
Yeah.
Which surely the first thing you do is you work out how you're going to wrap the water balloon and put a bed down for the water balloon to land on, so it's got as little impact as possible, Paul. Is that what you'd do?
Exactly. Exactly what you just said there is what I would do.
Yeah.
So if you dropped a balloon, you'd work out the science behind it.
Exactly. You've got to take a moment. You've got to think about it. Even though he tested it, he was doing all the tests and experiments, but he just dropped it straight onto the ground. An interesting panicked moment from Mohan. But to be fair to him, it didn't burst, right? It didn't burst. Richard dropped it onto some bricks, which surprised Greg quite a lot, some rubber bricks. He was very lucky that they bounced out and onto the mattress. But 3.48 meters Richard got. But all of the others got it up to the highest they possibly could, the 7.35 meters, and it worked for all of them. Now, in this situation, I wonder if Alex Horn gets a bit peeved that no one's water balloon burst. But it kind of didn't matter to me. I think it was still an incredible cinematic task. The director, Andy Devonshire, this was so up his street. What a great opportunity to film some slow-motion water
balloons. Andy Devonshire loves playing with speed when it comes to filming.
He does.
The
slow motion, not the illegal substance. We just want to let that know. That doesn't happen on the set of Taskmaster. He does. He loves playing with slow motion. Daisy's in particular was incredible because it looked so majestic falling from the crane and then landing in the bath and the sploosh that ensued afterwards. And then it cut to the full speed version of it, and it was the least cinematic thing you could possibly imagine. It was just a woman screaming at some water.
That's Andy right there, the producer. Andy Devonshire. There's two Andys on this.
Double Andy.
There's two Andys that work on this.
Andy C and Andy D.
Andy C, and that was the problem with Taskmaster. No one knew which Andy they were talking to.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I kicked the ball up into the air and I ran around the house several times, that was all fast motion and a little bit of slow-mo, I think.
And a bit of slow motion at the same time. Yeah, that was very memorable, that one. Yeah. I don't think they get enough credit, the production crew and Andy Devonshire, for what they actually do with the edit as well, and the editor. I'm thinking of my chickpea film in my series wouldn't have been good if they hadn't have done an amazing job on it afterwards. They do such an incredible job of making it look nice, Paul. And like you say, your ball in the air, no offence, Paul, but that would have been rubbish if they'd not dealt with it afterwards.
Well, unless I ran around the house.
That's true. You did run around the house at that speed, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no... I'm giving away secrets here, but... I have to say that so people don't think I have the ability to do that in real life, but I did actually do that. In 2006, there was none of that stuff around in editing.
So, in this case, it was 5 points for Daisy, Johnny and Catherine, who all got it up to the top height and didn't smash the water balloon. It was 4 points for Richard, who got it to 3.48 meters, and 3 points for Mohan, who dropped it from the shortest height, but still didn't smash the water balloon. So everyone escaped with an unscathed balloon. So we're on to the studio task, which was roll the edible sphere. You had to roll it over a certain line, but not over another line. And it couldn't have been the first one to stop rolling, I think it was. A lot of these tasks seem simple, but then when you try and explain them out loud, they're actually quite complicated. Alex is obsessed with getting food within a certain distance, because we also had a studio task where we had to throw something from a table in between two lines. And the first thing I picked was a rubber egg. Unbeknownst to me, it was rubber. I thought it was a real egg. So when I threw it, I thought it was going to land exactly where I wanted it to, and it bounced off in a weird direction. It was very frustrating, and I screamed at the top of my voice in anger, and my girlfriend has since told me that is the one of the only times on television I've truly been myself. So that's good to know what she thinks of me. Yeah, an angry, competitive little boy.
So I met your girlfriend, and she seems very calm.
She is. She's very calm. That's why we go well together, because I am a ball of petulant anger.
Narcissistic maniac.
Narcissistic maniac, exactly. That's what she calls me. And she is a very calming influence. She's like a babbling brook. So it was a victory for Johnny, which I never expected the studio task. I always expect he's going to unfurl and have a nightmare. Catherine, 4 points. Daisy, 3 points. Mwan, 2 points. And Richard, 1 point, interestingly. Normally does very well in the studio tasks, but came unstuck with this one, which means another episode victory for Daisy, which is impressive. I think at the start of the series, people were sort of thinking that Daisy might be a Badil-type character. I think Alex said it himself, that that's, you know, certainly if you watch the first episode, you think she's not going to do well. She's going to be very funny, but she's not going to do well. Now very much coming into her own. It's second place for Johnny, then Catherine, and joint last for Mwan and Richard. Richard losing a little bit of the lead there, which puts Daisy in the lead in the series. Now, Paul, we ask everyone this. Who do you think, having seen this episode, who do you think is going to win this series of Taskmaster?
Daisy was quite surprised at the end of that, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. Yeah.
She couldn't believe almost that she'd won it. But I think she's got a good contention to win this series.
Is she your prediction then? Do you think Daisy's going to win the series?
I was going to say, Daisy... Or Richard, I think.
Daisy or Richard. Yeah, they seem to be the front runners. I think those are the... I mean, obviously, we've got a long way to go. That was only episode 4. We've got 6 episodes to go. But Daisy and Richard certainly seem to be... have their eyes on the prize now. Richard more, obviously. Now, Paul, we've had loads of emails for you, so we're going to run through a few of them now, if you don't mind answering some questions from the Taskmaster viewers.
Sure.
Hello, Ed and Paul. Do contestants really take home the items from the prize round at the end of the show? Cheers, Joe. Now, Paul, obviously you only won one episode. Do you remember what the prizes were when you won your episode?
Yeah, it was some kind of... Actually, it was an iPod.
An iPod?
Yeah, Sarah Pascoe bought in her iPod.
And did you keep that and take it home with you?
I tried to take it home, and she kicked up a bit of a... You know, she started complaining to the producers. I remember I took it home, and then there was a big thing, and the agents got involved, and I said, I'm not bringing it back, it's part of the thing. And she said, no, I need it, it's got my music playlist on it. I said, a deal's a deal, when it's been done. And it's been going on for 14 years now.
Yeah. I believe the rule is... The person has won them. You can take them home, but quite often you don't take them home because they do mean something to someone else. Or now, more than it used to be in the past, you just don't want to take them home. Like, the things have got weirder and weirder. Like, I wouldn't necessarily want to take home a slice of Billy Bear ham. I think when the show started, people put up things like their house or a car. They'd really go all out, and in the hope that no one would actually take them home and be cruel enough to do that. But now I think they become more inventive and weirder, so you wouldn't necessarily want to take them.
Yeah, when I grew up, it was like you'd get kidnapped if you didn't go through on the deal.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's... But you come from a different world, Paul, you know?
Different world, man.
Yeah, you know, you've been kidnapped. This is not the world of me and Sarah Pascoe.
I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up again.
This is great. This is from Luke in the US. Dear Paul, what was going through your mind when you were having fun on the bouncy castle? For people who don't remember that, I'm sure you do, though. One of Paul's individual tasks, no one else was given this task, was to have as much fun on a bouncy castle as possible. Do you remember what was going through your mind whilst that was happening, Paul?
That was torture. That was, I think, one of the torture methods they used to use at Guantanamo. It was waterboarding.
Yeah.
And there was bouncy castle. I will do anything, not the bouncy castle.
Have the most fun on this bouncy castle. You have 1 hour. 1 hour? Your time starts now.
This is from Carone. Dear Paul, were you really as baffled by the tasks as you seemed, or was that all a big ruse for the sake of comedy? By the way, I think you're a Taskmaster legend.
Was I as baffled? I didn't think I came across as baffled. I think I came across as, you know, dealing with them in the best way humanly possible.
Look, Carone seemed to think you were baffled by the tasks, Paul.
Well, I don't know what Carone is. It sounds like something Michael Jackson used to say in between some of his lyrics.
A Carone!
Or was that a Jamone? I don't know what he said, but he said something.
He said Shamone, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, was it? Oh, I thought it was Carone. Yeah.
No. And this person is called Carone, so...
Carone, that's an unfortunate name.
It is in this day and age.
In this climate. Sorry to hear that, Carone. Carone. I think, is that a made-up... That's a made-up name, isn't it?
I don't know, but they think you were baffled. I mean, you were baffled by their name, so it would sort of play into their theory.
What's his surname? Vire?
Dear Ed and Paul, my question is whether you have ever had any nightmares or anxiety dreams about a particular task or being a tasker in general. That's from Matt Rose.
Any nightmares?
Yeah, I don't imagine you have, Paul. You don't seem sort of... It didn't feel like the experience affected you in a negative way, really.
No, I quite enjoyed it. Yeah, we do have nightmares. This is... To break it down is more of a nightmare than the actual show itself. This is when you have to explain what you're doing.
Yeah. You're having a nightmare now, are you?
This is the nightmare.
Yeah.
Knowing I've got to wake up and I've got to talk to you was the nightmare. Thinking, oh, now I've got to have to explain why, and years later.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to come
14
out.
Years later.
14 years later. People are still asking me questions. Watch it, enjoy it, and don't worry, it's magic. You don't know how magic happens.
Yeah.
You don't ask magicians how they do things. We are modern day magicians. We create this stuff out of our minds. You don't want to know how and where this was created.
Paul, I agree. People don't want to know what thought goes into dumping your trousers over a fence.
No, that's
the magic, baby.
It's divine intervention.
Yeah.
When they asked me to do that task, the first thing that came to my mind, what was sent to me. And it worked.
You can't explain that.
I didn't get into a cab.
It didn't work. You came bottom. But
yeah, I didn't get... Well, that's not the point, though, is it? The point is it was done in the best... It's unfortunate I didn't win that. I should have won that series.
Yeah, and I agree. It's been a nightmare breaking it down, sure, going through the new series, talking about your time on the series. It's been a nightmare. So as always, we ask our guest, could you rate your experience on the Taskmaster podcast between 1 and 5 points, please?
1.
There we go. It's our first one of the series. They've all been 5 so far. But Paul Chowdhury, as always, not afraid to speak the truth.
Once.
I feel like the others were just being polite. Paul's gone with the 1-pointer. You know what, Paul? I've had a 5-point experience with you.
Oh, thanks, man.
You've been a wonderful guest. Thank you so much for coming.
Anytime you need me, Ed, I'm there
for
you.
Well, look, as always, you're the backup in case someone can't do it. You can come on and do an impression. So it's goodbye from me, Ed Gamble. It's goodbye from Paul Chowdhury.
Thanks for having me on the show today.
Johnny Vegas, what are you doing here?
I don't know. I just came into Paul Chowdhury's house and I said, get off the podcast. You're talking absolute rubbish.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, man.
Incredible.
But who's won this particular episode?
It's the highest scoring episode so far. And the winner was Paul Chowdhury. Yeah!
Well, there we go. That was Paul. What a wonderful chat we had with Paul. Be interested to see which bits made it into the episode and which bits didn't. Paul said some pretty racy things. There is certainly no family-friendly version of this podcast on E4 at 6 o'clock on Sunday. It's not for soft ears or jelly eyes. That was rude, some of it. Sure, but you know, I'm a cool guy. I like a bit of edgy chat now and again. Paul was brilliant. He was so funny. It was wonderful to have him on. Maybe slightly less dissection of the current series of Taskmaster than there is normally on the podcast. But I think we went down some pretty good avenues, and I hope you enjoyed it. So remember, if you want to get questions in, email us on taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com. That's where to send your questions. And I'm very happy to say that next week's guest is James Acaster. Yes, from Series 7 of Taskmaster. I already do a podcast with him, so it should be a fairly easy chat. If you don't listen to the off-menu podcast, go and listen to that as well. Myself and James Acaster will be on the Taskmaster podcast next week discussing Episode 5. Of Taskmaster Series 10, the halfway point. Always exciting. The competitors really begin to knuckle down. Or panic, depending on who they are and what happens. So make sure you download that episode next week with James Acaster. Also remember the YouTube channel for all your Taskmaster content. YouTube.com/Taskmaster for outtakes and little compilations and things like that. They've done a compilation of the best songs ever on Taskmaster and the biggest failures and all of that sort of stuff. It's well worth a look. And also TaskmasterStore.com. Look, we may be in lockdown. We may not be able to get out to the shops, but the TaskmasterStore.com has things that you can't even find in the shops. Taskmaster related, by the way, not like flour and milk and stuff and toilet paper. Although, should look into it. Alex, if you're listening, come on, buddy. Taskmaster toilet paper. The public are literally crying out for it. Thanks very much for listening. We will see you again next week. Remember, Taskmaster, Thursdays at 9 on Channel 4. Bye-bye.
Bastard's crying, isn't it?